try to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, something absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to Oh Really Radio, show 64 for Friday, June 26th, 2015, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly irrational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, with my usual suspects. I've got Jessica Robinson, I've got Michael Robinson, and I have Donald Davis returning. Welcome.
Why, hello there.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Hello. Earth to Don, Earth to Don. Are you out there?
Hello.
Hey, there you is. Yeah. There you is.
We got contact.
Excellent. Contact, contact, contact. And unfortunately, David could not make it due to unforeseen circumstances, but he did. He used this thing that we have. It's called a voicemail line. I know it's rather antiquated, but you too can participate in that at 470-222-6759, just like he did. Let's see what he had to say.
Hey, Oh Really Radio, this is David. What a week it's been. Obama sang Amazing Grace. The ACA was confirmed by the Supreme Court as being what we all knew. Everybody knew what it was intended to be. And finally, we can finally say that we are more free today than we were yesterday. Except if you're a jackass. Because now you're not totally free to beat down upon the rights of other people because of your quote-unquote belief system. If your belief system involves you taking rights away from others, you're a bully. And you're not being bullied, because if we were going to bully you, we would make you go through all the same torment your belief structure put homosexuals and other groups in this nation through. So you still have your rights. And now they have more rights. In fact, they're close to equal with you. To
amazing.
All the people in the LGBT community, congratulations. Have a wonderful weekend. And everybody take care. Love prevails. Bye.
Thank you very much, David, for continuing to participate even when you couldn't be here. And he really summed up what the show is going to be about today. So let's get into the quick headlines before we carry on with the big heavy stuff. I was doing headlines by one of my favorite little apps, Circa. Unfortunately, as I went to go find new stories, the only story I found was that they shut down. So,
what?
Yeah, so Circa decided that they couldn't keep the power bill on, basically. So they weren't getting enough money, and they had to shut down indefinitely. Hopefully they come back, but, you know. Well, now I'm on the prowl for yet another better news service. Not a problem today, though, because, oh boy, do I have plenty. Anyway, the federal government has ordered federal employee health plans to cover transgendered health service. This is before the ACA and
Yay!
Everything. Google announced that it has a streaming music service. Of course, we already kind of know about that. But they are competing with the Spotify's and RDO's and now Apple Music with their play. Music.google.com now has a free tier that you can get in on.
Hmm.
DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Administration. Is that what it is?
Oh, I just looked this up.
What is it?
It's close the enough. Defense Advanced
Research Projects Agency.
Aha, that's what she said, is supposedly engineering organisms to make Mars livable.
So right.
They're going to build microorganisms to terraform Mars.
It really shouldn't be that hard. I mean, the number one thing we need is oxygen, and the reason Mars is red is because there's tons of oxygen in the soil.
Exactly. It's rusted. It's oxidation. We ought to be able to do something with that. And Pope Francis has been a very busy pontiff this week. He says that you're not a Christian if you support gun manufacturers.
Lol.
He also says that divorce can be morally necessary to protect children.
Lol.
And he wrote a 184-page encyclical, who, by the way, this Pope is a scientist. He was a chemist in Argentina before serving several positions in the Catholic Church. The encyclical highlights the effects of climate change on the world's poorest people, who stand to lose the most from changes in the environment.
Rafflecopter.
So doing what he should truly do and stand up for those who don't have a voice.
Exactly. He's pretty much exactly what the Pope is supposed to be. So
Ruffle.
Even if you don't agree with the way he goes about things and the publicity that he gets, because he is quite the publicity hound.
He is.
But even if you don't agree with any of that and you think it's just talking points, which, hey, maybe it surely is, he's at least using the correct talking points, unlike every other pope before him. And also, Gelda monkeys. Gelada monkeys? I've totally butchered that pronunciation, but I can't help it, because apparently they're over in Ethiopia, and they're also possibly domesticating wolves.
Crazy.
So, it's almost like they're our relatives or something.
Yeah, I wonder about that one.
Crazy.
I just don't know. All right, so let's see.
Now they're monkeys' best friends, too.
They are a bit, aren't they? Okay. Well,
primates' best friend.
Primates' best friend.
Can we go that far?
You know, out of all those headlines, I'm really curious what Pope Francis, our PR Pope, our hippie Pope, is going to actually say about all the other things that we're about to talk about. I'm sure that we'll find out over the weekend or next week. So
yeah, soon.
We will bring that to you next week.
We are only one country, but we are a very large one.
Well, though we are one country, our media empire is felt globally. So all of our soap opera dramas, I mean politics, all of those are broadcast for the entire world to see and participate in. I listen to a lot of Australian podcasts, and most of the time they're talking about us.
Other first world countries love pointing and laughing at America's ridiculousness because we are the laughing stock of the advanced world.
Well, also, it's not only that, because the more you hang around an idea or a habit, the more you start to adopt that into your own culture. So literally, the meme-like ideas that we have about horrible things are infecting the other cultures of the planet.
That is kind of the definition of a meme. It's just a self-replicating idea.
Yep. And well,
like a disease.
America's idea is the virus.
Right?
It is. It's completely true.
It's absolutely true.
Well, enough of that. Let's get into the good. Okay, so Confederate flags are coming down all over the place. Thursday, the ACA was confirmed constitutional by the SCOTUS. And Friday, today, marriage equality bans have been struck down as unconstitutional by the SCOTUS as well.
Or, in a single word soundbite, rainbow.
Yes, rainbows. Rainbows rain down from everywhere. It's been an amazing week. I haven't bothered to put any links in here because these are things that you genuinely have to either live in Ethiopia with the wolves or be under a rock and not understand that these things are happening.
If you haven't heard of these things happening, hello, welcome to the internet. You must be new here.
Yeah, exactly. Let me show you over to Google, and from there you should be able to figure out the rest.
I have a slight kind of point of contention on our first one.
Rock and roll.
Confederate flag thing.
Oh.
Just
yes.
A small one.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they should come down from all government buildings and all the merchandise and stuff being taken out of Walmart and Kmart and Amazon and all of those wonderful retailers that we throw our money at.
Even
Etsy. Going a little far with it being taken out of actual games that have historical context.
You've got a lot of modulation going on. I didn't hear anything you said. Actually, I heard it about 8 times. That was the problem.
Is that a little better?
Yes. Okay. I think what you said was that you have a problem with it being pulled down from, like, monuments that are actually in context to the Confederate, you know, the whole...
Well, not monuments, but media. Like, there's a video game that got pulled from Google Play that is, the entire thing is set in the Civil War. And they pulled it because the Confederate flag was in it.
Which, in this case, is absolutely appropriate because the Confederate flag, as we discussed last week, the one that everybody knows is the Confederate battle flag. That was the flag that the armies marched under. This is a place where it is appropriate to have that iconography because it's a game about the Civil War.
Anything that's historically accurate using the flag should be allowed to remain.
Even in games where you shoot Nazis, there are swastika flags and Nazi memorabilia obviously all over the place. So yeah, I'm a big fan of context. You know, you got to have contextual awareness to actually make sense of it all. So that certainly put it in its right context. The problem I think is that the education system down here in the good old South has not put anything into context properly.
Yeah, nothing is in fucking context. The flag belongs in, historical media and history books. That's it.
Museums. We can have museums. Yeah. But... Because, I mean, even the Germans who have outlawed displaying the Nazi flag have it in museums.
Museums, they
have it. So, I mean, that's where it should be. Because...
In a museum.
They lost.
Once again, we keep stumbling upon this phenomenon, and I keep pointing it out, and I'm going to keep pointing it out until people get it through their thick fucking skulls. Once again, we need to look to our friends over in Europe to find the reasonable way to behave, because nobody has a more checkered history than Germany.
We have a weird thing here in the United States, though. We fly flags all the time. Other countries don't fly their nation's flag.
It's not really a thing except in like sporting events or whatever.
Yeah, only then do they dress up and really have that nationalism, that patriotism for their country. Here in the United States,
when you look at Europe as the example, again, what happened the last time that nationalism was big like it is in America? A little thing called World War II?
That might be a chicken and the egg kind of argument. I'm not sure which came first.
But there's something there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was definitely something that was being touted and lauded, you know, as, you know, you are better than them. To put that divide in place of us versus them.
Yeah.
Which is the same problem that we also have with racism and the problem with police versus everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, it's an us versus them mentality. And this is psychology. I'm not coming up with this off the top of my head here. This is well documented that the us versus them mentality will allow you to do inhuman things to your fellow man because it's them. It's not a person anymore. And
people
by
need to learn from history.
Exactly. Or we will be. There we go. That's it. There's the meme that you have to have. So hopefully we'll never have to repeat these things. We are so much closer to having a true nationalized healthcare system where everyone is taken care of. And they can't pull it away without doing some very serious things. However, of course we'll get to that. Yeah. But it's going to take a big, even bigger than they were already hoping for kind of action. And they're so dysfunctional that I don't think that they can tie their shoes anymore. I'm pretty sure that the entire Republican Party is now Velcro only shoes because they can't do anything else.
Slip-ons, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Slip-ons and Velcro shoes. Yeah.
I figured Velcros might be a little bit complicated.
But. Just the slip-on, you know, wingtips or something. That's all you got.
Yeah. Penny loafers.
Exactly.
Well, actually, that's probably what they were anyways. But, you know.
Yeah, but they wouldn't bother to put the penny in. They got to keep that in their pocket somewhere. And then, of course, we've got marriage equality. And again, there are the people out there that are going to try and stop that, but they don't have a chance in hell.
No.
It's done. Where are you going to take it to make it legal? The Supreme Court? Oh, my bad.
I'm waiting for somebody to bitch and moan about it being a state's rights issue. I'm waiting for it. Like, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm waiting for it.
Oh, it'll happen. Give them a minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give them a hot second.
It's amazing how we're still talking about state's rights. So, in the last paragraph of the majority opinion, it was kind of magical, and I'm going to read it for you here. Should you have not already seen it. No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were. As some of the petitioners in these cases demonstrate, marriage embodies a love that may endure past death. It would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Their plea is that they do respect it so deeply that they seek to find its fulfillment for themselves. Their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. The judgment of the Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit is reversed. It is so ordered.
It makes me tear a little bit.
Get you right here.
I know it's a slight non sequitur, but I really love that last phrase. It is so ordered.
I love that too.
It makes me happy. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. That's chilling legalese, really, right there. That is the this is final. Screw off.
So it is written, so shall it be.
Exactly. It is so ordered. Go.
Whoa,
and may the Lord have mercy on your souls.
And now for something completely different.
Exactly. Actually, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy? And you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages? All the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're into some bad news, some of the negativity that has been brought up over this week.
Okay.
And now down in Alabama, they've been suffering over some of the legalese that's involved in some of these court mandates, and they're really fussing over may instead of shall. So basically, okay. Well, let me break this down for you. Okay, down in Pikes County. In Alabama, a probate judge, Wes Allen, announced that his office will now permanently be out of the marriage business. Quote, "My office discontinued issuing marriage licenses in February, and I have no plans to put Pike County back into the marriage business," Allen wrote in a statement. "The policy of my office regarding marriage is no different today than it was yesterday." Geneva County probate judge Fred Hammack also said he intends to permanently close the marriage license bureau in his office. And his attorneys don't object. both judges cited Alabama Code Section 30-1-9. Quote, marriage licenses may be issued by judges of probate of the several counties. That is so horribly written. Marriage licenses may be issued by the judges of probate of the several counties.
Yeah, that's just crappy.
It's like, I didn't flub that. That's how it's written.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
But the law says may instead of shall. So they're taking their option, they're taking their ball, and they're going home.
Okay, here's my thing about it.
Yeah.
So these particular politicians are, I'm sure, from a moral standpoint, denying people marriage licenses just in general. Now, I don't know how recently y'all have been married, but marriage licenses are cost money.
They do.
So, they cost money. So why is he denying his district this money, and I wonder how he plans to make it up? Because all they're doing is literally signing a piece of paper for $200.
He may be laying off people who do that work.
Yeah, he may simply get rid of the headcount.
Well, here's the part about this that interests me, because just a few lines in this article, just a few lines below the horrible phrasing, is a quote from this hammock douchebag who says, "This decision is not based on me being homophobic." The instant you say that, we all know you're a fucking liar.
Now, look, I'm not a bigot, but...
However, yeah.
But you're just going to power on through it, aren't you?
Yeah. Put the shovel down.
You're sticking to your guns. No, but it's all about his Christian beliefs. Well, guess what? Nobody gives a shit. It went up to the Supreme fucking Court. Last time I checked, there were Christians on the Supreme Court. Guess what? It fucking passed. Deal with it.
Yeah,
they're not gonna let people like that get away with that. So you're gonna shut down the marriage licenses for an entire county? Yeah, that ain't gonna fucking fly.
No, you're a government organization. You have duties to perform these things for your population. You should do them. You shouldn't say, "Oh, I don't feel like doing those because of my own beliefs."
I'm not sure what this is going to end up being, because certainly these judges, probate judges in particular, I believe, down at the county levels, they are elected. They're elected by their constituents. The constituents in Alabama
also happened in Texas, by the way.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It's all these really red states that this is happening, that it's even an issue, that it was even an issue in the first place.
Yeah.
So they're of course going to look for every loophole that they possibly can. Okay. Here's my advice to anyone out there that would like to marry their same-sex partner. Go somewhere else and do it. Because then when you come back, they have to honor it.
Yeah.
Just because they don't issue it doesn't mean they can't honor it.
They have to honor it because that's federal.
It's federal law now.
Yep. So go do your Vegas wedding. Go to Hawaii where it was already legal in the first place.
Give some other place the money.
Yeah. Here's a second piece of advice to all the travel agents out there. All you need to do is create a wonderful, fantastic marriage getaway. And people will flock to it. Some, it will be their only real option. I'm telling you.
That's what my friends you can do Jason it. And Todd did. They went to Seattle and got married.
Yeah. You can do it on cruise lines. You can do it anywhere you want, really. A captain can marry you. In international waters, even.
Most of their marriages happen before they leave.
Technically speaking, a lot of those
things have been changed over the years.
Yeah. Well, technically speaking, the piece of paper is signed and the ceremony is done whenever.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, technically speaking.
Oh, yes.
We know how this goes, don't we, guys? Anyway. Yeah.
I'm looking at Tumblr, and apparently a quite elderly gay couple, one of the men is 82, mm-hmm. asked if he gets a senior discount on his marriage license.
Sweet.
That's adorable.
That is adorable. That should be a thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Free marriage licenses to senior gay couples.
Only if you get there before fives for the early bird discount. I think
they should get there by four so that they can be done and be over to the local hangout restaurant for their early bird special.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Oh, wow. That's great. That makes me happy.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's move along. Nothing to see here. Now, Obama, as we know, is an excellent speaker. He can lay down a speech and leave a room of dissenters even floored. But I've never heard him sing before today. And I was unimpressed. I don't think he was the best singer. We have a clip. Let me see if I can pull it up. This is from the eulogy that he was delivering for his friend Reverend Pinckney, that was he was among the nine that was slain in the Charleston shooting. Let's see if
I cannot claim to have the good fortune to know Reverend Pinckney well.
He's an acquaintance, at least.
I did have the pleasure of knowing him and meeting him here in South Carolina back when we were both a little bit younger. Back when I didn't have visible gray hair.
Okay. That was him delivering the eulogy. We don't need to be brought down because it's really a very positive day, and we have a whole other segment for that. So let's move on to Amazing Grace here, if I can find the right one. Let's see.
Amazing.
Here we go.
Amazing Grace.
At first, even the crowd was surprised.
Oh.
Was that really President Obama singing? Not just as
it's my job to talk over,
but as himself. Using grace as a theme, the president energetically eulogized.
And thank you, CNN, for just ruining everything. Anyway, at the end, he became an absolute stereotype. Okay, stereotypes exist for a reason, but it was like a scene out of Sister Act or any other movie that has a predominantly black congregation.
That gospel choir.
That gospel choir is right behind him. Yes. And they are going. And he became a preacher. For those few minutes there, he was absolutely the preacher. The cadence was there. Everything was there. Really, he did a good job.
He might have missed his calling. He is not the best singer in the world. However, I will respect a man who knows that this is not where his talent lies and just doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. And thankfully, he only sang a little. I will say that. So yes, I think he does know where his strengths lay, and he went right back to speaking, and that was
good. Yeah.
So, good on you, President Obama, for showing us your talents, and truly raising the crowd to celebrate the lives of nine individuals that were stopped short.
That is something I always loved about the whole gospel choir phenomenon from churches, because they're just upbeat all the time. Doesn't matter what it is, they're happy to be alive. You don't see that in predominantly white churches.
No, you really don't.
Especially go into a Roman Catholic service and listen to them singing. They all sound like they want to die.
Well, that's only because a Catholic mass is, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 days. I mean,
I was raised Southern Baptist, and the same was true in Southern Baptist. When it came time for the singing, everybody sounded like they wanted to kill themselves. The only part where anybody had any energy was when the preacher was doing his fire and brimstone bit and telling us we were all going to burn.
I thought
religion was supposed to be about, it was supposed to be a life-affirming thing. Jesus.
Yeah, there's something to be said about the non-denominational one churches that are doing a lot. They make it entertaining, at least. I mean, they're spending millions of dollars on audio and video production. So they make it a rock concert rather than a church performance.
They really do. If anyone wants to look into any local here to Florida mega churches, Faith Assembly is becoming one. Used to be very nice and small. It's not anymore.
Now they're a bunch of freaks.
No, they have their own academy. They have their own football team. Like, it's going crazy.
Yeah, they're a bunch of freaks. That's what I said.
To quote George Carlin, it's Sunday, bitches. Where's my money?
In my pocket.
When you fit, when you fit 2,000 to 3,000 people in a room, you're going to earn some money.
Yeah. There's a reason.
2,000 people in a room, everyone putting a fiver in, probably.
Well, I don't want to just pick on the Baptists. I don't want to pick on the mega churches. I would also like to pick on the more fringe groups like the Mormon Church. Thanks to their mandatory 10% tithing, which, by the way, you can either tithe gross or net. It depends on how much blessings you want. So if you want more blessings, of course, you need to do gross.
Fine, I'll buy a damn indulgence.
Exactly. That's precisely how it is. And, you know, the Mormon Church as an inc, not even as an org, owns more land than the state of Delaware. I'll
they're not getting taxed on.
And they're not getting taxed on. I'm just going to let that sink in. Okay, there you go.
And now, Delaware is not a particularly large state.
No.
Still, it is a fucking state.
That we're not getting any taxes off.
Nope.
So, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Right, that's just the one.
That's just the Mormons. So
I still find it super creepy. They're all required to use the same bank. Like,
that would be a deal breaker for me.
Well, I imagine that there's, since I am not in the cult, I imagine, and I'm sure, feel free and send hate mail to ohreallyradiopodcast@gmail.com. I will address all of them. I promise. Anyway,
don't test us. Don't do it.
No, please send the email. I will read it on the air. Come on.
Entertainment.
It's all edutainment. I mean, really. Since I'm not a member of the cult, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I have, you know, from the peripheral, seen that there are many benefits. And of course, it's a large group of people that are inherently trying to look out for each other. They're deluded into why they're looking after each other, but they're still looking after each other. So they do have their best interests at heart. At least everyone in the church that I've met, they're really, really nice. They're so nice.
They are
creepy.
Super nice. My stores, I'm always glad to see them because they're all super nice.
Yeah, they're sweet. I can't say no to them.
They're just the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah,
they're still weird cultists, but they're the nice kind.
They've got.
But you know what?
They're
not going to come in and ruin my restroom and leave trash all over the place, and they're going to say please and thank you, which makes my day just a little bit better.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, of all the cults out there, I guess you could choose worse. I mean, really. Especially, what they do is they do take care of each other. So if you're in one of their, the church group, the fellowship, I can't remember the terminology. No, it's not a coven.
It's not a coven.
It's not a coven. That's so wrong. Again, send hate mail too. ohreallyradiopodcast@gmail.com.
The word you might be looking for is congregation.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. It's some weird thing, but oh no, wait, I'm sorry. I might have been thinking of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Whoa. Okay. I'm not even going there.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic of conversation. That's
yet another cult that we're not going to talk about right now. They're probably not even allowed to listen to me, so that's fine. Anyway, so I can't get hate mail from them. They're not going to listen. But anyway, they take care of each other. So if somebody is really down on hard times, the group will rally around them. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. So they do have a bit of a safety net. They have a cultural social safety net, but they have to wear weird underwear and give a lot of money into it all the time. And none of what I've said is a lie. So enjoy. Yeah. Okay.
For at least in my experience, they get really annoyed at the holy underwear jokes.
They do. They do.
They really do.
Yeah. There are some of them that say that's actually like really comfortable. And I could hope so because you have to wear it. But you know, that's, well, it's neither here nor there. It's still, it's unattractive.
Whatever Sorry. Makes you feel pretty.
Whatever makes you feel pretty. And okay, moving on. Okay. So Senate Republicans, quickly pledged on Thursday to fight to repeal Obamacare in the wake of the SCOTUS 6-3 decision that upheld Adorable. The law.
So this will mark their 55th attempt to repeal it?
I'm pretty sure we're over that now. I think this might be like the 57th if they continue on with it. Yeah.
And 6-3 is not like a very close one in the case of.
Right. 6-3 is a solid victory in the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Especially given the current demographics. That's solid.
Yeah.
I mean, with the marriage decision, that was 5-4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one could be considered close.
It was. It was. And again, given the demographics, that was narrow margins, really. I don't know that there's much to say about this other than, oh, look, they're doing it again and again
it
and again.
It's just
more time.
There was this thing, and I don't think we really covered it on the show, and I didn't look into it a terrible lot because it was a lot of legalese that didn't make sense to me. Yeah. But when the Affordable Care Act thing went to the Supreme Court, there was this huge backpedal in the Republican Party because they realized that if it was declared unconstitutional, all of their constituents, and I mean like all of their constituents, would lose all their coverage. Yeah.
Just, it's 6.4 million people.
Yeah. And it was always, and it's always the poorest demographics who need the most help, and it's always the poorest demographics that are in the red states.
Yes. It is absolutely hilarious that it's always the red states, the ones that are always against it, that are benefiting the most from all of these social programs that they decree.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
And now they're,
have you ever heard of cutting your nose off to spite your face? You ever heard of that?
They must be Scottish.
I don't know what the hell they are other than stupid. And I don't toss that word around lightly. Really, you have to be this stupid. It's akin to painting yourself into a corner.
You must be this stupid to ride the Grand Ole Party train.
Nice.
And they are this stupid.
Oh God, I'm so sad about all this. Oh, okay. there was one thing that I didn't touch on, but they're so touched. The entire conservative wing of our country has so many problems. And as we've just discussed with cults and all the legalese and trying to get every little nook and cranny and trying desperately to hold on to the past. There were so many people so many pastors and politicians that were claiming that they would set themselves on fire or move to Canada.
Do it. Also,
go for it.
Canada doesn't want you.
I call your bluff.
Yeah, they won't fucking do it. They don't have any conviction.
Here's the best part.
Here's the thing. Do it, Andy. Say it.
Both Canada and Mexico have legalized same-sex marriage almost a decade ago.
Yep.
And Canada has nationwide healthcare.
Oh my God, they have a healthcare system that just puts ours to shame.
Yeah.
They have a healthcare system in Canada that is so good that they will, if you are close to the American border and there is not a specialist center or a trauma center in your area that can perform a necessary procedure for you, they will pay to airlift you to an American hospital, have the procedure done, and then bring you back.
Wow.
That's how flush with cash their system is.
They pay taxes for it, but
yeah,
we pay taxes too.
Yes, but their system is successful.
Yes. There
and ours is garbage.
Yeah, there are some people who complain about their system, like about waits and stuff, but most people who go to the doctor here wait.
Yeah.
Just... unless you have the cash to pay the big bucks to go to the ones that don't have a wait.
Yeah. Now, if you think that I was as prone to hyperbole as I can be about setting themselves on fire, no. Here's a clip.
These folks send in their activists with their lawyers when they find there's a Christian who's principled and not willing to participate in any kind of sanctioning of same-sex marriage, and they sue them until they go into bankruptcy. In fact, the New Mexico Supreme Court, in ruling on the case there, said that participating in the sanction of same-sex marriage was the, quote, price of citizenship in the United States. So we know what's coming, and we're simply being preempted and saying, no matter what the cost, we understand, and we weigh the cost. We are not going to bow, we're not going to bend, and if necessary, we will burn.
Then burn. Or leave. This is coming from the same group of people, because it's always these right-wing douchebags, these ultra-conservative douchebags, who are always saying, you know, especially to immigrants, you know, either pay taxes or get out of my country, all that nonsense. They are all about telling people to either live their way or leave. But as soon as you turn that around them, they get all butthurt about it.
Yeah,
it's my country. Why should I have to leave?
This particular butthurt pastor is his name is Rick Scarborough. Should anybody want to go and see all the things that he has to say, that clip was courtesy of Right Wing Watch. He was out on, let's see, it was E.W. Jackson's show, and there's more. Something about gay marriage is a satanic plot to destroy the church and invite judgment.
We're not making the churches do it.
That's a fun one, but I don't think we need to give him the airtime. this is just happening all the time, and we're coming very steadily to the point where this is simply not going to be allowed, and we're seeing it with the flag coming down. It's not something that's socially acceptable anymore. And it's the social pressure that's going to do it.
And the thing that they don't seem to understand about this battle, like with the ACA repeal push, the constant fighting to get the ACA repealed. Well, first of all, that their rhetoric about it is wrong. Millions of people have not seen their insurance skyrocket. The average increase of cost has gone up to $5 to $10. And millions of people have gotten insurance who didn't get it before. You know, all that nonsense that they never talk about. But the thing that they don't seem to realize, and this is true of any social change, is that there's inertia to sociology. This is a thing, social inertia. And people who study the psychology of large groups of people know this. Getting large groups of people to change their opinion has to overcome a great deal of resistance because we resist change. Once it's been done, trying to reverse that, you are going to fight the exact same amount of inertia.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's going to be even harder because the inertia is now carrying you away from the turn point instead of towards it.
Yeah.
There's not a snowball chance in hell.
Well, they don't have the life expectancy to do it. I mean, really, at this point, they're obviously going to set themselves on fire.
And
they're not going to participate in the ACA. So, I mean, really, they're going to die early, hopefully. Oh, wait, I said that out loud, didn't I? No, really,
hopefully.
I'll say it
loud and proud.
Yeah, most of the absurdly homophobic bigots and racists are of an older generation. If you might have grown up with them out there in Internetlandia. You might have grown up with them, and you may have inherited some of that indoctrinated kind of attitudes towards people. But as soon as you get out into the real world and actually involve yourself in other people's lives a bit, you'll come to understand that they're just other people. And there's no reason to have these kind of weird phobias about them. They're just people.
Crazy.
They have the same organs inside in your meat suit. You know, same thing.
But they're different. They like different music and different TV, right?
Do they?
That makes them different. That's not like me at all.
They don't like reality shows, so they're not any good.
I don't like anybody that doesn't like those Duggars with the 19 kids. I don't like anybody that doesn't like them.
Speaking of culture, right over those guys. Yes. We talked about them at length.
Yeah,
exactly. Last episode.
Speaking of cults. Anyway. Okay. I had another story, but we'll save it for next week, and we will just move right along. And speaking of our president and the wonderful things that he said.
No. Hey. Yeah. Listen, you're my house.
I love it.
That's right. You're in my house.
I love it.
And all the conservatives are pissed off.
Well, I can stand with what this particular protester was trying to do.
Yeah.
It was not the right platform.
You know, I was thinking about that, and I don't think it matters in the least because they got attention.
Yes.
And as we know from studying the news so frequently lately, there is no such thing as bad news for a cause.
True.
If people like Rick Santorum and Ted Cruz and Rubio can all survive their various skeletons in the closet, then this is nothing but a blip on the radar for her. If anything, it's a high point.
True.
So her cause that I had no idea about, I now know something about. It has gotten attention. It has gained brain trust, and whatever she did, it got Obama's attention, and I'm going to use that drop in many things now.
I like that though. From what I've seen, and of course I'm sure that there are douchebags out there who are looking at this entirely the wrong way, but they're douchebags. They're going to do that. From most people, who even attempt to be socially aware, their only objection is that this was the wrong place and time to do this. Because he was invited to a nice party at the White House, and he should have been polite. It wasn't what he was saying.
No.
It was just when he did it.
Well, the conservative butthurt. The conservative butthurt was that he shouldn't have said, "You're in my house."
Yeah, and they would have busted his butt if he hadn't said that.
Exactly. Well, he's in the no-win situation, so he and he's a lame duck president. What are you going to do? Not reelect him?
Yeah, what are you going to do? There are no consequences for him anymore.
I'm like a white male senator.
No. Hey. Yeah, listen.
You're in my house. Okay. No. I love that so much. I love that so much. I wonder if anybody else is going to use it. I hope so.
I wonder. No wonder.
Yeah.
No, they better use it. It's fantastic. I just wish it was a little cleaner. I got to go find a better copy. If you have a better copy, email it to me. Okay. So, Brian Fisher, one of our favorite sort of talking head loonies, he has a show. For some reason, they've given him a platform, and he actually talks to people Monday through Friday for 2 hours from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this American Family thing. Yeah, I don't know why, but,
you said American Family, that never ends well.
No, it really doesn't in this country. This is actually, you know what? He appeared several times in various news stories, and this is not the one I was thinking of, but quite simply, he compared today, June 26, so 626. From a moral standpoint, 626 has become our 9/11. On this day, June 26, 2015, five justices of the Supreme Court became moral jihadists who blasted the twin pillars of truth and righteousness into rubble. They did this by imposing sodomy-based marriage on the United States through an act of judicial tyranny.
Wow.
Okay.
What group is
so yeah, let's just let's just okay. unpack that a little bit.
Let me take the reins for just a second here because I love this one. Another common rhetoric from people like him is that, you know, we are descending into the realm of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they always love to point to Sodom and Gomorrah as against homosexuality. But let's look at the actual text. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 50. Now this was the sin of Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them as you have seen. Who does that fucking sound like, asshole?
Well, it certainly doesn't sound like as he rants about the gay Gestapo. Now he also subverted one of my favorite songs ever, and that I cannot stand for. He said, but it didn't end there, because Fisher invoked the common Pearl Harbor phrase, June 26, 2015, a day that will live in infamy, and actually wrote down the sentence: on June 26, 2015, I saw Satan dancing with delight, for this is the day the music died in the United States of America. So he took the Don McLean American Pie song reference there.
Here's my thing.
Pathetic. You can't even come up with your own rhetoric. You have to steal things from great writers. You're fucking pathetic.
Yep.
Now here's an idea that I got from one of my favorite people on the planet, Stephen Fry.
Yes.
I'm sure he is. Oh, yes.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Who doesn't love Stephen Fry? Yeah.
You know who doesn't love Stephen Fry? Commies.
It's stupid. But one of my favorite, at least paraphrase quotes that I can manage is, homosexuals are not interested in making other people homosexuals. Homophobics are interested in making other people homophobic.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is just the way it is. And that's the way it is. Sorry. I, too, will subvert some rhetoric for my own use.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
But you use it appropriately and not in any pointed manner.
Oh, it's pointed, but appropriately. Oh, and speaking of things that are pointed appropriately, it's official. Hey, now. The police are now more worried about right-wing extremists than ISIS.
Yeah. It should be.
Man, it's as if white people do stupid shit when they're mad.
Isn't that amazing? So this is out on OccupyDemocrats.com. So it of course has its own leaning, but they point to the right source. So while Republicans across the country stir up fear-mongering frenzy about Islamic terrorism, the real threat to American safety comes from radicals in their own party. The New York Times conducted a survey of 382 law enforcement agencies across the country, and 74% of them reported that right-wing anti-government extremism to be in the top three terrorist threats in their jurisdiction, as opposed to 39% considering Islamic terrorism to be a threat. So what we have here is a red herring.
Quite.
So I just thought I would toss that out there, since we never did see any arrests from that whole Clive and Bundy ranch deal where actual American terrorists were pointing weapons at actual American law enforcement agents.
But they were white, so it's okay.
Right, right, yeah. Because if what do you think would have happened if the guy with the sniper rifle was black?
They would have carpet bombed the area.
Yeah, airstrike.
the tactical briefing for the SWAT invasion would have begun with the phrase, "After the strafing run has been completed."
Nice. Yeah, I think that's about right. I think that's about right. So that is probably the biggest white privilege FU that I've ever seen.
Oh God, it's awful.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. There's one more white privilege FU, and that would be Ted Cruz.
As soon as I saw this, I started preparing. I prepared for this one, Andy. I never prepare for shit. I prepared for this one.
Ted Cruz to Sean Hannity on Sean Hannity's program. Today is some of the darkest 24 hours in our nation's history. Really? Really?
There's too many rainbows for it to be dark. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
It's too bright and colorful. Come on.
Okay.
Should I play the clip?
Let's examine this statement, Mr. Ted Cruz.
Should I play the clip?
Okay, sure. Let him dig that hole for himself.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Come on.
Senator Ted Cruz is with us. How are you, Senator?
Sean, how are you doing? Today, it's some of the darkest 24 hours in our nation's history.
I couldn't say it more eloquently. I loved your comments yesterday where you said, you know, hey, listen, they're not calling balls and strikes. They've joined the team, and the team is hurting Americans. And you said if they want, they can retire from the court, and if they want to write laws, they can become legislators like you are.
That is exactly right. Yesterday and today were both naked and shameless judicial activism. It is neither decision. The decision yesterday, rewriting Obamacare.
For the second time.
For the second time, six justices joined the Obama administration. You now have Barack Obama, Kathleen Sebelius, and six justices responsible for forcing this failed disaster of a law on millions of Americans and simply rewriting the law in a way that is fundamentally contrary to their judicial oaths. And then today, this radical decision purporting to strike down the marriage laws of every state. It has no connection to the United States Constitution. They are simply making it up. It is lawless, and in doing so, they have undermined the fundamental legitimacy of the United States Supreme Court.
What?
Okay. Let's start with the first line of that.
Over here.
Because I have just an enormous objection to this. Some of the darkest 24 hours in American history. What about October 8th, 1871, the beginning of the Great Chicago Fire, which destroyed miles of one of our greatest cities and left.
That wasn't dark because of the fire. It was plenty light.
What about
it was plenty
April
of light.
29th, 1992, the day the Los Angeles riots began, the day that an entire city was consumed by anarchy.
Oh, again, there was plenty of fires.
How about here's a good one. October 24th, 1929, the day the economy of the country collapsed and everyone was thrown into poverty. How about, and let's use this phrase properly, because this was a proper tragedy. December 7th, 1941, the date that will live in infamy, the date that will live in infamy.
Oh, yeah.
Not a date, the date, the day that the America was suddenly and viciously attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan, where just countless people were murdered for no reason.
Thrusting us into
World War II. So let's talk about those days as actual dark days of American history.
I don't think he knows what words mean.
I don't think he knows what words mean. Second of all, I don't think he's ever opened a history book in his goddamn life, which drives me insane since, you know, the guy is basically the crypt keeper and is probably alive for all of these events.
No. He's a young chump. He's a young chump, really. But remember,
doesn't fucking look like it.
Well,
he's probably out back smoking during his history classes.
Nice. Well, remember, he's from Texas. So he had to have all those Texas school books. And of course, they rewrite history. So yeah. His history may be a little skewed anyway, especially with his Dominionist father.
Internet.
In the age of the internet, you have no excuse for your ignorance. You just are. Well, now let's examine.
If you know how old he is, when we were younger, there was no internet.
I don't give a shit. It exists now. Get with the fucking times.
Yes,
I don't give a shit.
He's spending far too much time doing things like campaigning.
No. My dad is 66 years old, was born in 1949, runs 8 businesses, takes care of my nephew who is 2 years old, and he still has time to do his own research on the internet. I don't want to hear from Ted Cruz about the internet.
Rebuttal.
Okay. All right. There. Okay. All right.
Let's look at the actual crux of this statement, not the insult to real tragedies that he's pandering about here. Let's look at the actual, constitutionality of this thing. The First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, the text of the First Amendment of the Constitution reads, Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress or grievances. Now, strictly speaking, he's accurate. It doesn't say anything in there about health care or any of that, or marriage equality or any of that crap. But so many times this clause has been taken to court and reexamined that this freedom of speech has been expanded into freedom of expression. And marriage is an expression that you have the right to freely express.
Well, also
it is fucking constitutional.
Well, more to the point, at least as far as the marriage equality deal. Not including the ACA, because he's on another tangent with that, and that's not the First Amendment issue. But, between the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment, also, marriage isn't really included in the Constitution. But banning it puts an unreasonable pressure on people.
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes unconstitutional. So they're not redefining anything other than burden.
And so they're just taking burden away
from people.
Yeah, it's all that really is.
And there,
it really what it is is correcting an injustice that you forced upon them by infringing their rights in the first place.
Right.
So reach back, unclench, and pull your head out of your ass.
Oh boy. Well, combined with them. Oh, the thought, it ran away just as I was about to grab it. I had it by the tail, and it just ran right away. Anyway, doesn't make any
difference.
You
should leave it a treat. Maybe
I should.
Back.
I should, possibly. with the ACA and the decisions there, I don't even know what's in that 2,000-page law. I really don't, and very few people do. But the implementation of it, that is what they're saying is constitutional. And they're saying that it's constitutional. They're not rewriting anything. They're not redefining anything. If anything, they're just saying, does it meet the predisposed definitions already? They're not making laws. They're making sure that the laws fit the doctrine that's already there.
And again, this comes back to you made an excellent point of I don't think he understands what words mean, because the whole process of declaring something unconstitutional compares an existing law to what's already on the books and says, does this violate any of our established principles?
Right.
No, it does not. Therefore, it is constitutional.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention during my American government class, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, I did pay a lot of attention in the American government class, and they didn't say anything about it. Of all the branches of government that we discuss in American history, the Supreme Court is like this nebulous entity, because all it is legalese, because there have to be lawyers and judges. That's all it is. Yeah. To understand it, you have to have a law degree.
Yeah.
And that's difficult.
But I believe Ted Cruz is a lawyer.
So he should know what the fuck he's talking about. It just proves how much of a hack he is.
Yeah.
I have two words for you. Willful ignorance.
Yes, willful ignorance. Well, he is definitely forcing a narrative. And what the hell is up with Sean Hannity agreeing with him and thinking that the rhetoric that he's spewing is eloquent? That doesn't make any sense at all.
This is Sean Hannity we're talking about, Andy.
Yeah.
I also have another two words for you. Cognitive dissonance.
And those are two of your favorite words right there, Andy.
Yes, this is true. It's not so much it's a favorite, it's just a sad truth.
Relevant.
Sad truth. Yes, it's just, that's a thing, and that's the way it is. Our darkest hour? No, I don't think so. In fact, if I wasn't doing the show right now, there's probably about, I don't know, 1,000 or so different parties celebrating the current decision that I could have gone to.
Oh my god, I would actually kind of love to be downtown tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Go to Pulse? Oh my god.
It would be crazy.
No one is paying for alcohol tonight.
Oh boy.
I would go to Pulse for that.
They got good music at Pulse. I will say that. Okay. And with that, I don't have anything. In fact, I don't even have any picks other than... Oh, wait. I do have one pick.
You've won?
I have one. For the rest of 2015, if you would like to be married, I will do it for free. Because I can officiate that.
It's the best.
Yeah. He was our officiant. He was an excellent officiant. It was good times.
I can do that.
Yes. Good times to have.
It was a 10-minute ceremony and everybody cried.
Yep. Even me. I cried.
Best ones.
I made myself cry. That's how good I am.
It's true.
Just saying.
So if you are so inclined, if you happen to have a same-sex partner that you would like to get hitched with, you know, and you need somebody to do it, to speak some pleasant words over that paper for you, contact me.
We may have something to talk about later, Andy.
That's right. OReallyRadioPodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, I believe Jess has some, something with that too, right? Right? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Promote yourself. This is shameless self-promotion time.
A little bit, just a little bit. Yeah. It's more of a cross-promotion, as it were.
It's okay, that's what this is for.
Not only am I lucky enough to be a makeup artist, I am also a wedding planner. Not to think of a fabulous one at that. I'm actually partnered up with a website called Forever and a Gay.
Forever and a Gay.
Forever and a Gay. I love it. It's so clever. They offer, it's a website that has a listing of LGBT-friendly wedding vendors that really any couple can use. If it's important for you that whatever vendors you use are LGBT-friendly, please use this website.
Yeah, it's not exclusive.
It's not exclusive at all, but they'll help you plan your honeymoon, any wedding vendors in your area. I believe it is national. It is not just to Central Florida.
Oh, excellent.
So, yes.
Excellent.
And It's really, really simple to use. Actually, I think it's a little easier to use than popular websites like the Knot and Wedding Wire. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's very user-friendly.
And those are rather simplistic.
And you can. So. And what I actually really like about it is you can directly message the vendor through the website. You don't have to do like the intermediate email shenanigans. You can directly message the vendor through the website.
Oh, okay. Mm. That sounds awfully handy. Okay.
Yeah.
They also have a Facebook page, which I will throw on the show notes in just a second.
Okay.
But please go visit them. It's not fully launched yet. She should, the girl I know, her name is Jewel. She's running it. She should have it fully launched, I believe, in the next month or so.
You couldn't tell by looking at it, though. I was just on there poking around, and it looks like it's been around for ages. So it's very professional. They've got their stuff together.
Feature complete and all that. And that's
www.foreverandagay,
all one word, .com. Go check them out. And, of course, you can find all of our links out on the show page at ohreallyradio.com. And this is show 64. Okay, so that's Jess. That's me. And, hey, Mike, you got any picks?
I could pull something out of my nerdy hat and plug something, but I'm not going to because there are more important things going on in the world than whatever I happen to be amused by at the time. And I think it's important that we just keep the focus there.
Right on. Right on. And Don.
Here. I agree. Nothing I could say right now would suit the mood.
Rainbow.
It's rainbow. It's rainbow.
Unicorns.
You know, I did discover one thing that is amusing at the very least. And because Anton Scalia is being such a raging douche canoe about the whole thing. Salon has actually created a Anton Scalia insult generator, which you just plug your name in and it will combine things that he has written in the past, all of his dissents and everything, and will combine something and insult you in grand fashion. And
that sounds like another favorite website of mine. It belongs to a man named Christoph the Insulter. He is very popular among the Ren Faire circuit. He has a generator on his website, and it's amazing.
As an example, from the Justice Scalia insult generator, for me, it was, one would think that Andy Cowan's showy profundities are pure, hardly a distillation of essence. What? Yes. Exactly. These are words that he has written down in the past about things. So I just don't know.
I don't think he knows how words work.
I think he knows. I think he makes up a lot of words, and some of them are fantastic. I'm so happy that he's there, just for all the weird things that come out of the Supreme Court, and occasionally he actually makes some really, really, really good. You know, coherent points, really salient input occasionally, but he still believes in an actual hell with actual demons that we're all going to. And I, of this, I will not put. Up with this, I will not put. Exactly. So, and with that, if there is nothing else other than go get insulted by Justice Scalia, I believe that will do it for us tonight.
Hooray!
So, we'll be back next Friday about 9:30 Eastern. In the meantime, the conversations continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com for all the links right at the top of the page. Do watch us live if you can and chat in the IRC. If you have liked what we've done here today, you can help keep the lights on and follow us. Follow the Help Us link on the webpage or go over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. And, well, if that's too rich for you to actually give your hard-earned currency or bottle caps or whatever over to me, contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, and unsolicited advice by emailing ohreallyradiopodcast, one word, at gmail.com. Also, leave a voicemail like I did and David did at 470-222 O-R-E-L-L-Y, O-R-L-Y, or 6759. Also, hey, you know, we have a subreddit, too, where you can post stories and vote them up and down. And, you know, wherever you found us, go back there. Yeah, right, wherever there. You know, probably over, like, at the iTunes place. Yeah, and leave us a review. At this point, I don't even care what it is, but leave us a review. Because we don't have any, which is weird. 64 shows and no reviews. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Tell us what you think. And, of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, subscribe to the YouTube channel so you get us all the time everywhere. And we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show is created by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com.
See you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
It's in the can.